Amen. Amen. If you're not seated, you can go ahead and be seated. Welcome. Seems kind of late to welcome you again, doesn't it? Thank you, Lord, for your presence today. Let's just lift our hands up. Holy Spirit, thank you so much. You're so welcome here. So welcome here. Have your way. Have your way in each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good morning. It's good to see you here. See your lovely faces. It's good to know that you're there online, wherever I'm looking. I don't know where I'm looking. I'm Randy, and I welcome you to Lift. Man, your presence is so sweet this morning. We're so grateful. So grateful. Great job, worship team, leading us. You know what I love about our worship? Lots of things, but one of the biggest things for me is that, man, they're going in. They're going in. With or without us. They don't come to coax us, to convince us, to entice us. They just go for it. And it's intoxicating to me. I long for it. Every week. I listen to music. I listen to other music. I go to sleep to music even each night. But this is music. This is worship. And it's a powerful weapon. And I love it. I love it. And I, you know, it's powerful in my personal life too. As a matter of fact, what's funny to me is that there's music typically playing in the room before we start service. There's just music. We have a playlist of whatever. I don't even know. Where Pastor Chris comes up with it or whatever. Every once in a while we'll hear Dolly Parton singing that new song that's, you know what I'm talking about? It's like, well, Dolly's at our church. And it's okay. It's a good show. It's a good song. So, but then it'll shift because we go to our loop to go live. We go live. And we're showing slides. And all of a sudden we're playing music from here. And it could be London, it could be Shakira, it could, you know, it's usually one of those two, it seems like, here lately. Maybe it's Sarah. But there's, and I'm telling you, it's as tangible as can be. You can tell the difference when that's, and it's just a recording. But there's just, man, it's powerful. And I'm so grateful for it. Well, hey, I wanted to start this morning by telling you, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question, and I want you to shout the answer if you know it. Are you ready? Who is the King of Kings? Jesus. That was pretty weak. Who's the Lord of Lords?
Jesus.
Wow. Let me start over. Who's the King of Kings?
Jesus.
Who's the Lord of Lords?
Jesus.
Who's your ever-present help in time of need?
Jesus.
Who is the Alpha and Omega?
Jesus.
That's getting better. It's getting better. Who's your healer?
Jesus.
Who's your savior?
Jesus.
Okay. Do what? No, I'm not trying to trick you. I'm not trying to trick you. I'm trying to get you to understand who we're talking about here. We were singing your name, your name, your name. Oh, the name, oh, the name. I'm going to tell you, he's it. He's the all in all. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Lion of Judah. He's the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the earth. He's the one worthy to open the scroll. I'm telling you, he's worth shouting about, right? He is. We haven't been saying it lately, but we used to say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And we would shout it out when we do our pre-service prayer. But more exciting than this being the day that he made is that the Lord is here. And he's alive. Right? He's the Emmanuel, the God with us. He's the one that said, it'd be better if I go. Why would it be better if you go? Because I'm coming in the form of the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. Jesus. No other name above that name. That at that name, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is what? Yeah, so who's the Lord? Jesus is. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus is not the first part of an exclamation when you're surprised. He's the first, the last, the in-between, the all in all. He's everything. And he's here right now. Because he said, when two or more of you gather in what name? My name. And his name is what? I will be what? There with you. I will be among you. Right? Man, I'm going to tell you. I want you to know, I love you so much. I love you so much. Each one of you. But he loves you more. He loves you more. I don't feel very loved. I feel kind of lonely. Well, that's a lie that we need to stop. We need to call it out because it's not true. He loves you to the point of death and to life. There was so much stuff going on, right? And we've been praying for a long time, righteousness and justice, righteousness and justice. And I'm of the mindset, I'm of the declaration that, Lord, expose them all. Reveal them all, because I know you are righteous. I know that you are just. Expose it all. I don't care who it is. Expose it all. Say, how could anyone do some of these things? Well, Esau gave his birthright up for a bowl of soup. We're weak in our own self. But by the grace of God, we're strong, right? By the grace of God, we're strong. We're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Strong in who? Jesus, the Lord of Lords, who was asleep on the boat when the storm rolled in and the disciples were freaking out. And they come to him finally and says, Lord, we're going to die. That's probably what they said. It's not an exact quote there. He got up. He might have been cranky. I don't know if he was ever cranky from being woken up from sleep, but he was not worried about the storm. You know he knew about the storm, right? He laid down his head knowing about the storm. He got up, went to the deck, spoke to the storm, calm. He may have went back to sleep. And the disciples go, what just happened here? Bill Johnson says you can only have peace. I mean, you can only have power over a storm that you have peace in. That's a good one, Bill. Thank you, sir. You can only have power over a storm that you have peace in. So I wish you peace this morning. The peace of God that passes all understanding. It doesn't make any sense because he's the Prince of Peace. Who's the Prince of Peace? Jesus is. Who's seated at the right hand of the Father? Yeah, and he's not stepping off. He's not getting up. He's not going to, all right, I'll come do this or do that. He's already done it. It is finished. It is finished. I loved it when my parents would give me something to do and a chore. I didn't love getting a chore, but I loved that they have to hound me. Sometimes they have to hound me and hound me. You ever have to hound your kids? You know, and you're just trying to just nudge them. If you've done that yet, you don't have to do that. You got to go in there and do that. Oh, I'm going to do it. As a matter of fact, I'd lay in my room and my mom would yell my name. She would say, Randy, and I'd just keep doing whatever I'm doing. Randy, I'd just keep doing whatever I'm doing. Does your kids do that? I don't think I heard her, but I heard her. Randy, I didn't do anything. Randall Keith, then I got up. Then I knew she meant it. Right? Listen, Jesus meant it when he said it is finished. He meant it. And not only did he mean it, he proved it as he came into the room with the disciples. Hello. And they went, oh. And he said, don't be afraid. My peace I give to you. Receive his peace today, that no matter what's going on around, receive his peace so that you can walk in the power that he has given you against whatever you may face. Peace. Receive my peace. We're going to go to 1 John chapter 4. I'm just going to read a few things. Verses 7 and 8 from 1 John. I'm reading from the New American Standard per Pastor Grant's request. He wields a lot of version authority around here. You know that, right? Because I don't want to listen to it in the staff meeting. Yeah, you picked that NIV. They left out stuff. We're added it. I tease him a lot. It's because I love him. Verse 7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from who? God. And everyone who loves is born of what? God. And knows who? God. The one who does not love does not know who? For who is love? God is love. God is love. God is love. But did you know he has a cup of wrath for those who do not believe in him? It's true. Back in the Old Testament, Jeremiah had to go and to explain and share this cup of God's wrath that was going to come. Jesus in the garden, right before they arrested him to take him to the cross, he wept and sweated blood. He was so distraught over what he knew was coming. We just celebrated what came. But he said, Father, if there is another way for this cup to pass, don't if I don't have to take this cup. He wasn't talking about the juice. He was talking about the wrath and just wrath of God Almighty towards those who don't believe, towards those who are still in sin, towards those who haven't received the grace, the gift of God that he's offered to us. God is love. And we just read, love one another. My question is, are you prepared to love so that the cup may pass those you are involved with? Because unless they come into that place of saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that's what's destined for them. The cup of the wrath of God. Because he's just and he's righteous. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4, same chapter, and look at verse 9, the next verse. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son. And what's his name? Jesus. Into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, so that he would take the cup of the wrath of God Almighty on our behalf. We don't talk a lot about any of this, that kind of stuff. We don't talk a lot about hell. Talk about heaven. We talk about the presence of God. We talk about how much he loves us and how much we long to be in his presence. But that's just the thing. You know what the biggest part of hell would be? To not be with him. To not be with him and know that you could have. to know. Well, maybe there's a God, maybe there's not. You'll know. You're going to know. And then it'll be too late. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Here's the key. He loved us first. Right? It says there, He loved us first. Before you gave a rip about Him, He loved you. He loved you before Jesus came. He loved you after Jesus came. And He loves you now. He loved you when Jesus went back into glory and sat at His right hand. He loved you when He sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of them that believe, them that ask and receive. Because if you ask, you will receive Holy Spirit inside of you. If you ask and believe in Jesus Christ, you will receive His power and presence. Well, I don't feel any different. It's okay. It ain't about you. It's not about you. He's inside of you. And He loves you so much. And when, matter of fact, when He looks at you, He doesn't see Robert. I see Robert. He doesn't see Lizzie. He doesn't see Tabby. He says, ah, Jesus. Jesus. Yes. Jesus. See, oh, I saw Kurt. No, Jesus. Sorry, Kurt. He loved us first. And He's calling us as His beloved, as His Jesus bearers, He's calling us to be willing to step out and love first. He's calling us to love others. Now turn to John, Gospel of John, chapter 13. I've got a theme. Who's the Lord of Lords? Mm-hmm. Who gives life and gives it more abundantly? Jesus. I'm just asking, making sure you guys know He's behind all of this. He's behind everything. Who in here thinks you're creative? Who thinks you're creative? Raise your hand if you think you're creative. You got kind of a creative. Oh, raise it up high. Don't be timid. Creative. Okay. You know who you can thank for that? Jesus. Because He created it all. He's pretty creative. John chapter 13, verse 34. I'm going to take it up a notch. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. See, He took it up a notch. It's not a like we had, that we also ought to love one another. Now it's a commandment that we love one another. Now go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, because we're going to look at a story real quick. I think it's going to be helpful to us. Father, thank You for Your word. We're so thankful for the gospel. We're so thankful for the epistles of Paul and others. God, we're so grateful that Jesus, You are the Word in the flesh. You are the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and we behold His glory. We thank You that Your glory is filling the earth. See, if you want to know what real truth is, it's in His Word. It's His Word. You can go to His Word. It'll never lie to you. His Word will never lie to you. You might be confused by it, but that's okay, because Holy Spirit is not. And you can ask Holy Spirit, what's up with that? What is that? And guess what? If you don't hear Him say anything, then that means you can move on. You don't need to know that right now. You're not quite ready to understand that right now. I have read things that I have read time and time and time again. And I've read them so much that I sort of do the Evelyn Wood speed reading over them. I don't even like pay attention. Do you remember Evelyn Wood speed reading course? Okay, anyway. You got to be really old to know that one. But I have. I've read over things. I can even quote things, and I can say them, and I have not a clue, really, that what I'm saying. I just know it. I memorized it. And then one day, click something, click, and I go, what was that? Right? Father, we're praying for that today. Today, oh God, quicken your word to us. In Jesus' name. Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. This story is in other Gospels, and they all say it about the same kind of way, but I'm using Luke because of a few points that I don't want to have to make that aren't in the others. Verse 17 says this, Luke 5:17. One day he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. I want to give you a picture. The Pharisees and teachers had come. They were so excited. No, they weren't. They weren't coming for excitement. They weren't coming to receive when they should have been the ones saying, come on in, let me help you, let me help you. Get on in here because we're going to receive today. Get in here, come on in. No, they came, they probably got there, and they probably expected everyone to move out of their way so they could sit down because they were there to judge. They were there to judge. I am so afraid that the enemy has divided us on the left and on the right so much in this last year, in this last season, that if he could get us to move to a place of judge, we forsake the place of grace that he's called us to. I'm going to tell you what, if you're in that place and you look, because listen, there's plenty to judge. Plenty, right? Plenty to judge, but you're not the judge. And it gets pretty tiring to walk in that place. They were seated in their robes and their hats. They're ready. Probably people have, I can't see around this giant hat. You take a hat off, sir? No. Here they are in the room, and it fills up to the brim. And there's two presences here. There's the presence of these Pharisees, these scribes, these teachers. They're there because, you know, the people knew, what are they doing here? I don't even think they like the dude. It was electric in the room. Because there was another force in that room. And his name was who?
Jesus.
And guess what? He wasn't worried. He was probably sitting down, peaceful. But it was electric in the room. The people said, oh, Pharisees? Oh, Jesus? Because they'd heard about Jesus. People had heard. Why do you think they came and crammed the place? They broke the fire marshal code. You couldn't get anybody else in there. I'm sure it was... might have been hot, might have been a slightly smelly. You never know, right? It was, right? And they're in there, but it was electric. There was an anticipation of something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. I've heard a story of hikers, mountain climbers, that they can get to a point maybe on their ascent where the hair starts to stick out. And the metal on their backpacks begins to take on a glow. And that could mean lightning is imminent. And they'll take that backpack off. There's an expectation that something's going to happen. And that's this room. I don't know what. I don't know what's going to happen. But something's going to happen. Are you coming in here with an expectation that something's going to happen? Are you going to work with an expectation that something's going to happen? I love the unexpected. But do I? Do you? Come on. Do you like change? Do you like to be surprised? You like to be surprised when it's what you want, right? Right? But God's wanting to do the unexpected. Be above and beyond what you can think, dream, or imagine according to the power that lives in you, that works in you. That's what Ephesians tells us. There is an expectation. I want to raise your expectation. I want your expectation to come up that as you leave here and go to whatever place that you go to eat, maybe you just go to the grocery store to get food. I want you to have an expectation that everywhere you're stepping is holy ground because you're holy, because the Holy One Himself, Holy Spirit, lives in you. And this could be a moment of something fantastic and incredible. And it could be the unexpected, unbelievable example of love happening in a very unlovely situation. I would not expect anyone to show love to me at this time in our society. But it was a commandment to love one another. That's the checker at the store. That's the waiter, waitress. That's that table over there that didn't put their mask on when they should have. Man, I don't want to wear a mask. Why does he not have his mask on? Come on. Come on. I don't want to wear one either. I'm telling you, I went to Costco, and there was a man and his son. This has been a while back. But there was a man and his son walking around, and they didn't have masks on. And Costco was pretty quick to force everybody to wear a mask. So it was pretty early before we were acclimated to wearing a mask. But I had mine on because they said to, and I wanted to shop there. I wanted to be in there. And I saw this man and his son. They didn't have their mask on. And instantly, an indignation rose up in me. And it's like, I don't know. Maybe he has COPD. I don't know. It's not my problem. And it's not my place to be judged. But doggone it, if I didn't run into them, aisle after aisle after aisle, it's just, okay, Lord. So I walked by him and went, no, I didn't either. I didn't. I'm lying. I ran into a place that I had to run into real quick. It was cold. It was snowy. It was cold. And I pulled up close to the door. I had to run in and drop something off. And I ran in there. And I was so thinking about what I had to do that I just ran in there real quick. Because it's cold. I had my hat on. I had my coat on. Wind was blowing. It was Saturday or Friday. And I just ran in there real quick, and I got in there, and the guy had his mask on below his nose. Right? And I thought, I'm just being honest here. I thought, really? And then I realized, I didn't have mine on at all. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. I forgot my mask. And he goes, oh, I hate these things. He pulled it out about four times. I hate these things. Like, no, no. Put it back up on your nose. He did a reverse. Well, I just backed up a little bit. And then I had to sneeze. So, oh my God, don't sneeze. You don't have a mask on. Whatever. I made it outside. So here we are in the room. It's electric. There's an expectation of something going down. Are we ready to rumble? That's what they were thinking. They were ready for it. I tried to do my best Sam Hall there, but wasn't that good, was it? Verse 18. And some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed. You know, you're walking around town, see some people carrying some pots on their head and maybe some bread on a cart, and oh, there's some guys carrying a man. Carrying a man on a bed with a man on it who was paralyzed. And they were trying to bring him in and set him down in front of Jesus. but not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher, the mat, into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. Okay, I want you to get a picture of this. First of all, I don't know who the guy was. Could have been a brother. Could have been a friend. Could have been a father. Could have just been someone they grew up with. But the bottom line was, he was paralyzed. He couldn't fend for himself. And these four men, I don't know who they were, and I don't know what relationship they had to him, but they had heard Jesus was coming, and they had an expectation. They had an expectation. They said, you know what? We're going to take you to him. And they carried him for wherever they came from, and I don't care how far away or how close it was, it's not the easiest thing to carry a man around with you, right? I mean, there's donkeys and whatever come through the street, and you're coming, hey, back up. We got a guy. We're carrying a guy. And then they get there, and it's full. Can't get in. There might be a seat in front of that dude with the hat, but I can't see. They couldn't get in. They went to the windows. You know, at this point, they could have said, Bill, we tried. Sorry, man. We tried. We'll catch him when he's leaving, maybe. They didn't do that. They you know what? They were probably motivated by love for this man. They loved him enough to continue to press in and to persevere until finally they either found stairs or a ladder. I don't know, but they got up on the roof. And a lot of times there was space on the roofs in these days. And the roofs were being made from what I understand of different materials, but the last thing was usually dirt. And packed down tight, so that it wouldn't leak. And even like in the spring, there could even be grass growing. It might be a foot of dirt. And I remember when I went to Egypt one time, and I found out that it doesn't. I mean, we went and ministered to people who lived in a garbage dump, a literal garbage dump, and that was the ministry that we were doing there. And in this dump, just a few square miles, but they had built multi-story buildings with streets and everything. And it was all dump people that lived there. And they would raise enough money from recycling through the trash that was literally brought in and dumped to turn that into concrete, to pour concrete frame and floors. But then the walls would be bricks, mud bricks that they would make by hand. So here you had this modern concrete structure, but with mud bricks. And I remember asking, well, what happens if it rains? They said, oh, it don't rain much here. And that's when I noticed there was like an inch of dust on everything. It was just very dusty. If it rained like it rained here, their whole walls would just dissolve. So here we got a roof that's packed with dirt. And they get up to the top with this man, and they begin to dig. Now, I don't know if this was the way it was. That was no easy task, and it wasn't quick. And I bet it wasn't silent. They're digging with their hands. Maybe they had a shovel or a little wooden stick. I don't know, but they're trying to get down to where they can. I mean, I saw The Chosen, and I know there was already like a hole, and they just dropped the man down. I don't know that it was like that. I think Jesus could have been teaching, and people going, especially the Pharisees. What is going on? When the dirt started hitting him on his little hat, he was thankful for his hat then, though. But it got on his robes. Think about this. They're digging out a spot and lowering a guy, and then all of a sudden, comes a man. That's love. Because you know what? Someone's got to pay for that hole. Someone's in trouble for that. Right? Sorry about the hole, but here's my friend. Can you imagine? Carrying your friend and doing whatever it takes. That's the kind of love God's looking from you and I. To have love that will do whatever it takes. I talked to you last week about having done all else to stand with your shoes a piece on, with your little cleats on it, your cleats so that you can hold ground. They're not running shoes. They're standing and advancing shoes. Being able and willing to do whatever it takes. Jesus said in Matthew 11:13, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and violent men take it by force. I want you to know that love demands and requires for us to be active in our love. Love demands and requires of us to not be passive and say, oh, I love you, but I don't do anything about that love. Love says, a couple feet of dirt, that's no problem. We'll get through it. We'll work together. You know what? City that's kind of jacked up and afraid, that's no problem. We'll get through it together because we love our city. Got issues in Washington? It's okay. We're going to get through it because we love our country. And we're going to do whatever it takes to be salt and light. We're going to do whatever it takes to be light and give hope and demonstrate His power and celebrate His presence, because in His presence, it's everything changes. I'm yelling today. Verse 20, let's go back to Luke. Verse 20, this is Jesus. Seeing their faith, He said, friend, your sins are forgiven you. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus, aware of their reasonings, answered and said to them, in love, by the way, He was loving them with His answer. Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins have been forgiven you, or to say, get up and walk? I think we need to show love in the time we live with a little more, your sins are forgiven, than get up and do the right thing. I don't think God's asked us or required us to point out how everyone else is wrong. I think He's asked of us to love one another as I have loved you. And by this they will know that you love one another, that you love me, that you're my children, by your love for one another. Which is easier to say, your sins have been forgiven you, or to say, get up and walk? But so you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up and pick up your stretcher and go home. Immediately he got up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. You know what that means? He had a little skip in his step. He didn't just pick his mat up and go, oh, so glad. He was a hopping and leaping and praising God. We used to do a song like that from another person who was healed. Right? I'm not sure why He told him to go home, other than there's doubt and unbelief in this room, and I don't want you to lose what just happened. Right? I don't know. Maybe. Verse 26. They were all struck with astonishment, and began glorifying God. So his little skip, it was catchy. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. They get up here and they're singing this morning and they're saying these things and we're singing these things. And if you weren't drawn in to an exhortation of worshiping God, if you were not brought into a place of thankfulness, you weren't listening. They were all struck with astonishment, began glorifying God, and they were filled with fear. Not the fear of man. Not the fear of bad things, but the fear of God. And you know, fear of God's a good thing. Fear of God's a good thing. Saying, we have seen remarkable things today. God's calling us to love like we've never loved. God's calling us to love like we've never loved. He's calling us into an anticipation of His love being demonstrated through us to others and to the world around us so that He might, not we might, so that He might bring healing, so that He might, not we might bring justice and righteousness, but in His way, not your way. What a story. I wish I could have seen that in person. Seen that man parting. People just got out of his way as he walked. Right? Come on. He was excited. I can't even dance, but I'd have been dancing if I was him. Out the door. And the thing was, the words tells us that there was a power, there was a presence. The Holy Spirit was there. The anointing was there for healing. Which, by the way, is still in the earth. And it lives in you and I. If we'll get off of our bench as a judge. And come back into the fold of lover. Oh, I love you, God. Then love the people that are going to experience the wrath of the Father if they don't find me. You see, when He said it is finished, He meant it. When we take the cup and the wine, the juice in our case, although I'm open to wine, just saying. Those of you at home might have been a step ahead of us. But when we take that, we say, behold the Lamb who takes away the sins of the what? The world. God so loved the world. Turn to Matthew 22. What a day that was, huh? What a day. Matthew 22, verse 36. We're going to read three verses. Just to clarify, how does time go so fast? Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And understand, they weren't seeking truth. They were seeking to trip him up. They were looking for fault. And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost or first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Perhaps we have allowed our grace to extend too far. Constantly looking for the big picture and ignoring what is right in front of our face. And that's the person sitting next to you. That's the person that lives in the house next to yours. Or the apartment next to yours. That's the person at work that annoys you, that antagonizes you. As a matter of fact, as we just continue to keep our eyes on this big picture, our country, our world, our order, it'll paralyze you. And you'll have a sense you can do nothing to fix this. That's exactly what the devil wants you to think. It's too big. There's no, I mean, I have hope, but there's no hope for them. What you're really saying is, I don't have enough hope to believe for them. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, according to Hebrews 11. Listen. Maybe we need to get our eyes off of what's going on for everybody else and bring them back down here and come and look around and go, well, you know what? There are people right here that I could concentrate on. We think we cannot possibly make a difference. Tell that to the starfish that the little girl was throwing back into the sea as she walked down the beach. And the man said, what are you doing? I'm saving this one. Well, there's too many of them. And it won't make any difference. You can't get them all. She goes, makes a difference to this one. She throws it in. When we keep our eyes on the big, giant picture, we begin to think and believe. The enemy tells us this, that someone else will do it. Someone else will take care of it. But you're here right now. You're in this place that God put you. You're in this city. You're in your neighborhood. You're in your family. Right now. Someone else isn't. You are. You're in this place of destiny. He knew you'd be here. He knew you'd be in this room today. And he knows where you're going to be this afternoon. He knows what's happening this week. And I'm encouraging you to love. To let love overcome. Let love overtake. Let love, God is love. Let God be God. Turn to Matthew 5, final verse. Matthew 5. So we've had love, we ought to love. Then we've heard this is a new commandment that we should love. And then we heard the greatest commandments. What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit, everything you got, all you got. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 43 through 45 says this. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Whoa. We didn't talk about that one. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. You know what he just says right there? It isn't your job. He's got it. I got it. I make the sun come up. I make the rain come. I got it. Here's what I'm asking you to do. You love your enemies to the best of your ability. And how do I do that? You pray for them. You declare God's glory for them. You pray that they will come into a saving knowledge of the one who loves you and whom you love so much. So the question I really want to say to you, or statement I want to say to you today, and I close with this, is, you know, as I think about that story of bringing the guy in, man, I think that would be me. I'd be one of those. I'd be one of the four that would carry him in. So no matter what, I'd get up there and I'd probably say, well, we're going to tear the roof off. I might balk at that one, but then I'd go ahead. I'd go for it, and I'd dig, and I'd help lower him down. I would hope I would not be the one sitting in the seat, judging, looking for a mistake, waiting for a slip-up. I would hope that would not be me, although I look good in giant, tall Pharisee hats. I do. I actually look like I have hair when I have one of them on. I would hope that would not be me. But you know what I really think? I think I'm the guy on the stretcher who received love from Jesus. Who not only got off the stretcher, but he was forgiven. His sins were forgiven. The most important thing to know. That's the most important thing we can share. That your sins can be forgiven. So I say to you today, get up off the stretcher. You're not paralyzed anymore. Don't let the devil put you back on it. Your sins have been forgiven. And you're healed. Well, I got this thing. Well, you can have healing. It's available to you right now. Now is your time. Having done all else, stand. Get up off your stretcher and stand. Because you don't stand alone. I'm standing with you. She's standing with you. He's standing with you. I'm standing with you online. And having done all else, let's stand and love. Enemy does not want that. Let's stand up. Enemy does not want that. Why don't you lift up your hands? Say, Father, forgive me. I don't want to be the judge. It's not my job. I want to love. I pray for my enemies. I pray that everyone I know, those that I'm in contact with, would come to know you and be saved. And I'm open. I'm willing. I'm not paralyzed anymore to be used by you to make that happen. And I know that it's going to be from love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, glory to God. I don't care what happens. God is on your side, right? I don't care what happens. I'm on your side. And I don't care what happens. Jesus is on your side. And let me look. Yeah, at the end of the book, we win. We win. And it says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you. If you would like prayer, and if you'd like someone to pray with you in person, we'll have people over here and over here. If you're online and you would like prayer, just drop a message into the online there, and someone will contact you. God bless you. Have a great week, and go Chiefs!